to the Injured List podcast, your source for all sports injury topics. For the weekend warrior to the sports fantasy guru, we keep you in the action and out of the injured list.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the Injured List podcast, Brian Scott.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Brian Scott, your host for the Injured List podcast. Thanks for joining me. Very special episode today. We have only our second guest ever and our first in-studio guest. With me, a very special guest, owner, operator, CEO, whatever you want to call him, of the Percatalan Creamery, one of our founding sponsors, and I use that term very loosely, Mr. Sean Colas.
Hey, welcome. How you guys doing? Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you on.
Oh, that was sweet.
You like that, right?
Listen to all those.
Pretty good stuff there.
Yeah.
So, Sean, pleasure to have you in the studio. I know you have some questions for us here at the Injured List, and I'm going to address those very soon. But let's first talk about you and your shop.
Absolutely.
And maybe you can give me a little rundown on the history of how the Percatalan Creamery was born, how it evolved, where you are at right now in 2020 with the pandemic, and where you see yourself going in the future.
All right. Excellent. So yeah, back before 2012, I was in sales, pharmaceutical sales for about 13 or so years. Decided I wanted to open up a candy shop. So moved down to North Carolina and opened up my first small business. It was about 5 years. We had a lease for that long. And we decided that we wanted to add ice cream. So we're looking for a different spot and wanted to add ice cream and more adult things. And we tripped upon a really cool roaster up in Lexington, Virginia called Lexington Roasters, actually, and found what they called an affogato, which is generally a vanilla scoop of ice cream with a hot double, yeah, it's very good, a double shot of espresso over it, and they call that an affogato. It's a great Italian treat. You can have it in the middle of the day or later at night, and it's amazing. So this kind of gave me the idea that I have to do these things together. I have to combine coffee and ice cream. We're going to add ice cream. We wound up dropping most to all the candy. We did keep truffles and some other things. But as we kind of went along of being a very kid-centric, very bright colored candy shop, we wound up moving over to a different brand, which is now called the Percatalan Creamery, which is a 1920s themed coffee and dessert shop. It also has ice cream and pastries and, you know, all kinds of different great things.
So from candy to coffee, is that an unusual transition for most entrepreneurs like yourself?
I would say it's probably the most unusual because I don't know anybody who did that. But it is in some way, being a pharmaceutical rep, where it was a necessity to, in some ways, kids having candy being a necessity and having coffee to adults being a necessity. So I'm kind of staying in that world where there's a need, and we've had a really good time over the last couple of years we've been open since 2018.
Well, that's great. And you guys are in a pretty prime location as well. Is that not correct?
Yeah. So we are right outside of Charlotte. If you guys are familiar with Charlotte, there's a big circle highway around it called 45, right on the edge of that and on the edge of Route 85, which is a main thoroughfare through North Carolina, goes all the way down to South Carolina, Georgia, and whatnot. So in a huge shopping area called Concord Mills, which has one of the largest malls in North Carolina, as well as right down the street, we have NASCAR, and we have a lot of, actually a regional airport right
next to us.
Right
down the block from Charlotte Motor Speedway, for all the sports fans out there listening to the show.
Very, very, very big draw. Unfortunately, you know, obviously with the last few months, it's been kind of a challenge with, you know, people going out and shopping and checking out NASCAR and all the other things that they do, Great Wolf Lodge and whatnot. So, but we've weathered the storm, and we're excited to be, you know, moving in the right direction, going strong here now in August.
Great. That's great to hear. Now, As far as the percentile goes, what type of clientele you typically see come in? You mentioned that you're very family-centric, and I can vouch for that, having been there with my own family.
Absolutely.
What other types of clientele? I mean, so a lot of these coffee shops like Starbucks, some of the big chains you'll see are located near or have a very strong following from various Pilates classes or dance right. classes or near gyms. Mm-hmm. From a healthcare slash athletic point of view, do you find that you have a clientele that kind of meets or checks off any of those boxes?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we found kind of just looking at our clientele and also, you know, basically running demographics, we found that probably about 70% of our clientele are women. We can find that they're about 25 to 50. Generally, of course, we have men and, you know, older women, people from high school, college, or whatnot, because they're actually about 10 minutes away from UNC Charlotte. But we actually have a lot of people that do like Pure Bar, mm-hmm. Yoga. We have people coming from local gyms into the shop. We actually have a couple of owners of gyms that actually come in and, you know, either they're, you know, private instructors or they have their own gyms. Burn Boot Camp is actually right down the street from us as well. So you do find a lot of those people that are in that world of yoga, Pilates.
So a lot bar. Of active individuals,
absolutely,
in other words.
Absolutely.
And do you find that the time of day that these clientele come in centers around their workouts? From what you've noticed, I mean, they're coming in their athletic gear straight from the gym or maybe on their way to the gym? Or
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so it is interesting. So just kind of when we talked about the last a few weeks of kind of what we'd be talking about, we, you know, I started really looking at the activity, and we do see people that absolutely look fresh and ready to go to the gym or to a yoga class, and then we have people that look, hey, I just got back from a run or got back from, you know, a boot camp or. They're ready to kind of recharge their battery and they come back in. So, you know, we do see most of the time it's going to be more mornings, specifically later mornings and mid mornings. But I would say that a majority of people do come, you know, obviously before that lunchtime hour.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. And I asked these questions for a very specific reason, which we'll get into a little bit later. But I want to know what makes your menu unique as opposed to some of those bigger chain places that I mentioned earlier, like Starbucks, for example. What is it about your ingredients or your recipes that maybe separate you yourself from those guys?
The big thing for us is that we are all about quality and consistency. I think one of the things that I got really frustrated as a consumer and still to this day is that you go to a place that you really like, let's just say a restaurant, an Italian restaurant, and I like chicken parmesan.
Sorry, who doesn't?
I do. I mean,
I
just eat this stuff constantly. And I love to go to a restaurant that every single time that I go, that the sauce is right, that the cheese is perfect, that it's got that nice crispy outside and really juicy chicken inside. Now I'm starving, but I want it to be consistent. So what I did is, you know, one of the three pillars that we go off of is quality and consistency. So if I'm pulling a shot for a drink or one of my workers is pulling a shot for a drink, that we want it to be the same exact flavor, which is going to be amazing every single time. I don't want to let anybody down.
So you're very careful with the actual amount of ingredients that you measure out.
We're very, very scientific is what I would say. Okay. We have things that we've had baristas when we first opened that had come from other places that, you know, wanted to kind of trial and error some stuff. But we wound up very scientifically measuring our shots, making sure that the timing is right, making sure that the beans are fresh, making sure that we're using organic syrups when we're doing,
so that was, you know, going to be my next question, actually. Yeah. Was going to be as far as the sweeteners and flavoring, where do you get that and what types of things do you use for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's really timely too. So my head barista, I just spoke with a couple of days ago, we get our most of all of our syrups from a place called Holy Cacao, which is based out of Oregon.
Okay.
They are an organic small batch syrup maker. Really, really great stuff.
Okay.
I spoke with my head barista, who is also a trainer of ours, who's been trained in Brazil and has been in the business for about 15 years, talking about doing our own in-house syrups,
interesting,
which is going to be really excellent. So we're going to be kind of playing around with that. It's going to hopefully be released in 2021. We're going to start something simple like mint and vanilla.
And are you still trying to go that holistic type of organic route?
Absolutely, yeah. We want to really kind of keep the quality very, very high. We try to keep our cost down and reasonable, but we find other opportunities for cost savings there in other places where, we want to really, put the money and the effort into the quality ingredients that we put into our coffee and our drinks.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Right? I think that's what every good service industry business wants to do. Now, let me ask you this. Do you actually know the caffeine content or the actual ingredients within your creations?
Yeah. So we actually get that question a lot because people are looking for, some people, I would say, are looking for, basically a pick-me-up or something to get them going, going into a workout or going even, let's face it, going into work, getting ready for a big meeting or an interview or what have you. So we pull what we call double shots. And they're 2 1-ounce shots. Each shot is approximately 60 milligrams of caffeine.
Okay.
What you can find in a 12-ounce cup of coffee is probably, give or take, dependent upon the bean, you can have a variation of anywhere from 80 to 95 milligrams. But if you're pulling a double shot of espresso, right, that yes. comes out after about 28 seconds, that's going to be at about 120 milligrams per double shot.
Now, are you restricted by the FDA or any agency that about how much caffeine you can put into any single drink that you make?
We're not. What is interesting is that very rarely, but it does happen, people want a quad shot, which is actually going to be 2 doubles. There's certain names for it. Some people that actually even combine coffee and a hot shot of espresso.
Okay.
Those are called red eyes. If you do a quad shot over a coffee, it's actually called a black eye.
Okay.
Which is, a red eye, what they...
Understand why.
Yeah, it knocks you out. I mean, it's just really next level. Red eye really comes from, hey, I'm going to take this red eye plane. I want the most caffeine
sure,
to kind
yeah.
of get through this, 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock flight. But some people do come in. Actually, I have a buddy of mine that I actually play hockey with. Believe it or not, every time he's about to play hockey, he comes in and he gets a black eye, which is in his version is actually a 16-ounce cup of coffee with 4 ounces of a straight espresso on top of it. No milk, no sugar, straight up. And he's ready to go. Believe me when I tell you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is all
so
charged
answer,
up.
Yeah. So to answer your question, we don't have any restrictions. Of course, we always give people a heads up, say, hey, listen, we want to let you know what you're getting. And, a lot of times the flavor is going to be very important to them. You start throwing, coffee and quad shots of espresso, you're going more for the reaction of it more so than the flavor of it, because it's pretty intense.
Yeah, even it sounds to me like they really want the caffeine kick.
Absolutely,
so to speak.
And that's an understatement for sure.
Yeah,
most people, I would say 95 or 98% of people that come in definitely go for the flavor, and the caffeine's going to be secondary to that, as the primary, I would say, the flavor and secondary for the caffeine. But there are some people for sure that go for, hey, we really want to kind of go to the next level here, which is absolutely fine.
Sure. Sure. So this is great stuff. And it's going to really kind of lead into some more useful information for our listeners out there, as we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about caffeine content, and how it affects athletic performance more specifically, and whether or not it poses any health risks in that regard as well. So sit tight. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Injured List Podcast with your host, Brian Scott, your go-to resource for all sport injury-related topics. For show notes and other resources, visit theinjuredlist.com. Now, back to the show.
Devil's Advocate is a weekly sports talk show for the casual and diehard sports fan to be heard. My good friend, host Abe Delgado, wants to provide a show that is all about the fans. You can come on live or call to give your opinions on anything sports. I'm a regular guest on the show to talk about all things related to sports injuries. So we hope you'll join us and participate every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Facebook Live.
From morning perks, family perks, to day perks, and self perks, the Percantile and Creamery makes your day a little sweeter. Stop by first thing in the morning with easy online ordering and curbside pickup. Or meet up with friends at Concord's best new hangout. Everything's freshly baked and brewed right here. So, find your perk today at the Percantile and Creamery.
Hey, this is Sean Colas with the Percantile and Creamery. We are the premier coffee, ice cream, and dessert bar in the Charlotte metro area. We're thrilling people with our amazing interior design, our incredible customer service, and the quality of our offerings. We have a beautifully designed 1920s mercantile-themed monochromatic throwback where people feel excited by their surroundings and blown away by their treats. We're great for business meetings, families, couples, and you. Ask about our room rentals for meetings, events, or parties. We're nestled next to the Concord Mills Mall behind Verizon and in the same building as McAllister's in Concord, North Carolina. Hey, if you're in the area and you're listening to this right now, get in your car, drive over to the Percantile, mention that you heard us on Brian Scott's amazing Injured List Podcast 2020 and receive 25% off your purchase.
Hey, everybody, we're back from that break. Thanks for joining us again. We're back here with Sean Colas, owner, operator, CEO, first line employee, you name it,
sous chef.
The Percantile and Creamery over in Concord, North Carolina. Great little coffee shop, 1920s themed. One of our proud sponsors here at the Injured List Podcast. We are talking about his shop. We're talking about the clientele that frequents his shop. And we've been talking about some caffeine content of some of his creations over there at the coffee shop. And we're going to kind of segue that into some information about caffeine and how it affects athletic performance and overall health. So now, Sean, I know you had some questions on this topic. How can I help you in answering those?
Absolutely. Well, it is interesting. We were kind of talking about people coming in before their workout, and then some people coming in after the workout. So It is interesting. I never really put much thought to it, but is there a better time to drink coffee or caffeine for specific things?
Well, if you're looking at its beneficial effects for athletic performance, then you're usually going to want to look at ingesting it about an hour before said activity. That usually gives the liver enough chance or time to metabolize it so that it's in your system. Now, it gets rapidly absorbed through the GI tract, but to get the full effect usually takes about an hour or so. So most people who often use caffeine to kind of help with their performance in sport will usually ingest it about an hour before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is there, you know, like my buddy who plays hockey who really goes overboard, in my opinion.
So,
is that a little bit overkill, or is it just...
So really has been some literature which has suggested that there is... you'll see some pretty significant beneficial effects up until about 200 milligrams. So anything above that, they're not really sure it does much difference. So if you're like sucking down 300-400 milligrams worth of caffeine, it may not be doing anything additive. Once you hit about that 200 milligram total mark, that seems to be where all the beneficial effects come in. But they haven't really come up with like a specific caffeine dose. So, you know, there's a lot of discrepancies, I guess, amongst those who use it about how much is too much or if there is such a thing as too much. But from what the literature states, it looks like it's about 200 milligrams total dose, where you won't really see much more benefit if you go over that.
So is there any kind of, you know, you see a lot of marketing around a lot of these, you know, very high content caffeine drinks, you know, the the little shots of caffeine and all those kind of things. I mean, they're probably yielding more than 200 milligrams. So you're saying after a certain number, there's really not much difference, but could there be a side effect, adverse, you know, event or side effect?
Well, so absolutely. I mean, so anytime you're talking about a stimulant like caffeine, the number one thing that you have to remember is that everybody responds to these things differently. So what one person has as a potential benefit may turn out to be a potential consequence or hazardous effect to another individual. So it's all very relative and it's all very subjective. But the known physical or physiologic side effects are various, and they range the spectrum as far as the body's health systems, from cardiovascular to GI to liver to psychoneurogenic to cognitive. So it can have a vast array of side effects, some good, some bad, depending on the individual. So that's like the key thing to take away from all this is not everybody responds the same. So don't think that because Usain Bolt pops like a 5-hour energy right before he does a 100-meter dash that you're going to be able to do the same and run a 10-second flat 100-meter dash. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. You still have to train. You still have to be genetically gifted. You still have to put in the work. Caffeine doesn't simply elevate you to another level that you weren't at before. It can certainly give you some perceived benefits as well, not all that are actually physiologic, such as like increased susceptibility to fatigue, which is not necessarily true. It's more of a perception, but people seem to think that that is a physiologic response. It's really not. That hasn't been proven, amongst some other things.
So it's interesting. So is with, you know, say Major League Baseball, NFL, is there any kind of rules against consuming any of these types of beverages, especially the ones that are higher end? Or
well, so the World Anti-Doping Agency doesn't consider it a banned substance, but it is a monitored substance. So they can check for levels. I don't know if they've established an actual illegal limit. And I don't think it's, because it's not banned and it's only monitored, for that reason, it's not basically outlawed. So you can use it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so with the, you know, going back to hockey, we try to play every week when the, you know, COVID wasn't around. Is there certain sports, you know, that are more cardiovascular, or is there things that you found some data with even weightlifting or, you know, those types of performance type of sporting, or sports, I should say.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's definitely a more of a physiologic benefit in more of the power type activities, weightlifting being the big one, even sports that have endurance, such as like cycling or running, tend to be a very popular sport that caffeine consumption is high in. And it has shown some beneficial effects for those types of individuals, although the beneficial effects from the caffeine ingestion can actually span quite a wide array of physical activities. So basically, any any prolonged, like sub-maximal exercise where you're basically doing sub-maximal, so not, you know, not 100% effort level, over 90 minutes has been shown to actually show beneficial effects. Any sustained high-intensity exercise ranging between 20 and 60 minutes has shown some elevated or good benefits, and any even short duration high intensity, so like 1 to 5 minute bouts of exercise, caffeine has shown to actually show some increased beneficial effects. The big benefits typically are increased movement velocity, so basically moving faster, and so in sports like weightlifting, throwing, jumping, anything that requires like a sudden powerful explosive movement has been shown to show some significant effects.
And I guess we're talking about more of the physiological, but what about some mental benefits that you can get from drinking caffeine? Does it, you know, people are talking about, batters that are trying to hyper-focus in on the pitcher that's throwing 95 and a cutter or something like that. Does it increase focus and be able to really hone in on that ball more?
Well, that I don't know if that necessarily has been looked at, but what they have looked at as far as caffeine and performance has been more clinical trials where they actually look at like cognitive testing.
Interesting.
So like if you're sitting down at a desk taking an exam, for example, let's say, they have shown that it does help increase alertness, mental energy. So people feel more awake, they feel more alert. It's also helped them concentrate. They seem to be more focused, particularly if they come in already fatigued. So there have been stuff like that, and they've actually compared it to some placebo, and as it's actually shown that it does work where the placebo doesn't, which is what the intended outcomes usually are desired to be. So there has been quite a bit of the cognitive and neuropsychiatric things looked at, and it has shown to actually show some benefit. Now, it's hard to really extrapolate that and put it into the world of sport because it's very difficult to measure, you know, someone's ability to actually see a baseball coming at them at 90 plus miles an hour. But the perception of that is probably measurable. And from a perception standpoint, that is a known perceived benefit, is that people do feel like they're more awake, alert,
right,
heightened awareness,
right,
mentally and thus physically.
So it seems as though, you know, based off of, you know, some of the things we talked about with the milligrams of caffeine, you know, a cup of coffee could have, you know, virtually give or take about 100, depending upon the bean.
Yeah, I mean, there's a wide range. I mean, coffees can range anywhere between, you know, 60 milligrams of caffeine all the way up to 200 plus. I mean,
right.
Like you said before, with some of your creations, there's a varying degrees of, you know, caffeine content. So,
right. So it seems as though if you're doing, you know, hypothetically, if you're drinking a couple of cups of coffee, that should be sufficient enough and probably would do just as good of a job than hitting a you know, a 5-hour energy. And, you know,
Yes and no. You're definitely not going to get as much caffeine in two cups of coffee as you would in, let's say, a 5-hour energy or some other caffeine products out there. The energy drinks definitely have much higher content. In fact, there's one on a list that I'm reviewing that has a 300 milligram count in an 8.4-ounce serving.
Oh.
And I've never heard of this one. It's called Spike Shooter. 5-hour energy has about 215. So this is all reported by Consumer Reports, by the way. So that's where I'm getting my information. But, you know, you get that in one single loading dose, which apparently that's the way people prefer to take it. It's usually like in a 6 milligram per kilogram of body weight loading dose, like 1 hour before the activity. That's the way most people who use it tend to use it. So the only way to really get that much is like with one of those small energy drinks, because they're not a big serving size.
Right.
But they're packed full of caffeine.
Interesting.
Yeah. Instead of drinking like, you know, 20 ounces of coffee or soda, you can get it in like a 2 to 8 ounce cup of liquid.
I'm wondering if, is there any data with the diuretic effect with, say, a coffee versus some of these other, I don't know what to call them, energy drinks per se, but I wonder if they have a similar response of caffeine is caffeine, all caffeine's created equal, if it's measured in, you know, how they're measured, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure about that. I will say that caffeine is actually not, or caffeine via the coffee route is actually not as, excuse me, widely used throughout the world as much as tea. And so one question I would have would be, is the caffeine quality in tea the same as the one you're getting in coffee? That's a good question. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure if we do.
Yeah, some teas, I mean,
tea is actually
more,
the most drank caffeine product in the world.
Right.
Especially in Asia, South America, and other parts of the world. So coffee seems to be more of like a, I don't know, metropolitan thing to do, perhaps. I'm not really sure.
Well, there's
but,
definitely some countries that are more, you know, you think about Colombia, Brazil,
yeah.
Obviously the States.
Well, coffee definitely, you know, falls second behind tea. Tea is definitely
absolutely,
the most.
100%. And we, yeah, agree. And we do a lot of tea here too. And you know, honestly, a lot of people come in, we have a list of probably about a dozen teas that have various levels of caffeine. People say, hey, you know what? I want something that's, you know, decaf, and we have a Ceylon that's really nice. And, you know, a lot of green teas, you know, white teas are not going to have as much as, say, black teas. So people are mindful when they're coming in, you know, even with tea, wanting to know what they're going to be getting, if it's going to be too much or too little. And so it is really interesting how, you know, people are starting to kind of dig in a little bit and doing a lot of investigating, and, you know, that knowledge base is certainly growing in that world.
Yeah. You have to keep an eye on that for me as your clientele comes through the door and see if they pay attention to any of those numbers, or, and if so, I'm curious, you should ask them why and see what their intentions are. If they're looking just for a little pick-me-up maybe before a big test to study and stay focused, or if they're looking for an actual physiologic response for exercise, it would be very interesting to see.
It'll be interesting because I do personally don't drink any coffee or any kind of caffeinated drink after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's just based off of, you know, knowing my body and, you know, go to bed around 11 o'clock. I get up around 6:30. And I can't handle that kind of caffeine, you know, at 44 years old after 3 o'clock. And I know certain people come in at 8 o'clock in our shop and have, you know, shot of espresso, cup of coffee, a latte. And I'm like, gosh, wow. Yeah. It's amazing that the people, they don't seem to have any effect about keeping up any kind of, any later. It's amazing.
You know, that's true. And it's amazing to me too, because I have the same issues with my caffeine ingestion, but you know, you have to remember that there's always a little bit of a caveat to this. There are some negative consequences and side effects that we didn't really talk much about, and I'll kind of go into briefly. And one of the ones we mentioned was some cardiovascular negative effects. And a lot of times people can feel basically palpitations. They could even develop subtle arrhythmias that can lead to some cardiovascular issues. There's also a lot of GI upset that can occur. And a lot of times this is because a lot of caffeine products are all, especially the coffee world, like, you know, are mixed with cream or sugars or other additives to flavor the drink, or, you know, to sweeten it or make it lighter. So those also carry some negative side effects as well. Not to mention that there's been some discussion about whether there is actually an unhealthy level, and that really hasn't been proven, so we don't know. So potentially, yeah, there is. And then you have to remember too that a lot of these studies are done on a very specific population, or so they're not, you know, it hasn't really been extrapolated to the general public too. So there could be even more data out there that just hasn't been collected yet. So you got to take that with a grain of salt, a lot of these studies. And then what has been shown in some of the literature is that there's also a higher incidence of people who drink caffeine also have some other habits that are not too kind as far as health is concerned. And what they found is that people who consume over 2 cups of coffee regularly will sometimes develop almost like withdrawal symptoms if they go without it for an extended period of time. They're also more likely to be smokers, drinkers of alcohol, and use other illicit drugs. So coffee definitely has some negative side effects and connotations with it. So just everybody has to keep that in mind.
Well, moderation is key, right? One of the things that you touched upon is, you know, diet. And I think a lot of people are very, very tuned into diet right now. What we're seeing is a lot of people coming in asking for alternative milks. Those would be, in the past, soy, presently almond milk, and also oat milk. And we're seeing a huge uptick in oat milk. And personally, I am, I struggle with lactose and milk products and stuff. So I've funneled all of my consumption with oat milk completely. And we're seeing that the last couple of years grow significantly. And just talking about GI issues, you know, I had suffered some GI issues over the last couple of years, but once I changed my diet to more of that alt milk, that was a really significant improvement in my overall, you know, gut health, I would say.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there, and I've come across many patients in my career who've had the same issues. I do want to let our listeners know that there is a recommended safe kind of level of caffeine consumption, and typically what has been noted in the literature has been about if you have an intake of about 2.5 milligrams of caffeine per kilogram of body weight, that is usually not associated with any adverse effects. So if you're looking to get some of the benefits of the caffeine but not overdo it, then that's kind of the number where you want to stick to, somewhere in that ballpark.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, are there any other questions I could answer for you? This has been a great chat.
And, yeah, absolutely.
It's been a long time coming. I'm glad we were able to get you into the studio. today.
Yes, yes. Beautiful.
And I you know, we do plan on having a live podcast at some point in the near future with my good friend Abe Delgado, who has his own sports talk show live on Facebook called The Devil's Advocate. And one of the things that we have been talking about and trying to plan out is doing a live sports talk broadcast from Sean's coffee shop.
It'd be so fun.
And so we're just trying to work out all the details and figure out a good date. Unfortunately, with the COVID pandemic, that's kind of put a kink in things and kind of put some stuff on the back burner. But we're actively talking about it, we're thinking about it, and we're trying to plan it. And I know, Sean, you've been on board with that from day one.
I think that'll be very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'll be great for the show. I think it'll be great for the shop. And I'm looking forward to the day that we can sit down and do that.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, I want to thank Sean Colas for stopping in. On behalf of the Injured List podcast fans out there across the world.
Yes.
Any closing remarks?
No, I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to come chat, and definitely thank you for answering the questions. You know, hey, listen, guys, if you are around that Charlotte area, we would love, love, love to host you. We have tons of amazing coffee drinks, like we talked about, tea, kombucha. We have really great desserts, ice cream, a thing called Cronuts, which is pretty great. We also have beer and wine. Once things start getting back normal.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, now we're getting back to normalcy. We're having live music and events and stuff. So we're going to be a really great hangout spot. Hopefully we got some local people that are going to be listening here. And once we do that live event, hope you guys can join us. Make a trip.
And I heard they just opened a cigar shop next door, which is exciting. So I might have to stop in there and pay him my respects.
Yeah.
And maybe see if they're interested in doing a little something with the Injured List.
I think that would be amazing. He, I believe, was a former football player.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah, so he's probably well into that. But I appreciate the opportunity and, you know, look forward to doing it again.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Injured List podcast. Special guest, Sean Colas. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Listening to the Injured List podcast with your host, Brian Scott, your go-to resource for all sport injury-related topics. For show notes and other resources, visit theinjuredlist.com.